What's up, heroes? Today I had the pleasure of interviewing Sandra Bullitt, a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and producer out of Portugal who specializes in rock and cover songs, but has been the voice of countless producers in styles ranging from EDM to jazz, bossa nova, trance, country, house, and pop, because she is currently a top-rated seller on Fiverr with over 1,000 completed projects from 40 different countries around the world. She's also one of the most experienced streamers on Sessions Live and is paid to live stream there. These two platforms have enabled Sandra to follow her passions as a full-time musician for the last 3 years. In today's episode, Sandra offers her thoughts on following your dreams, how to make money as a musician on Fiverr, and being paid to live stream every week on the music-only live streaming platform Sessions Live.
We are talking. It's like we're talking and just having fun with each other. And I'm sharing my music, which is great. And I have people asking, where's your new album coming up? I want to know. I want to buy it. Where can I buy it? And I'm so excited. I didn't even record it yet and didn't even finish it yet. People are already wanting to buy. It's so, so awesome.
But first, cue the intro music. All right, Sandra, welcome to the Producer Life podcast.
Hey, thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. You are an amazing singer and songwriter, and we go back several years, and really excited to talk about your new album, our upcoming track, sort of your background and how you got started. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that would be great. Be good for me too. It's always good to remember where we came from, right? I think that's so important.
It is. So maybe starting there, I was looking on Fiverr and I noticed you have a degree in mechanical engineering, but you're now a full-time musician. I imagine there's quite a story behind that.
Yeah, actually, I do have a master's degree. But you know, here in Portugal, we don't have a very strong musical culture. So pretty much I grew up thinking that, you know, it's my dream to be a singer. It was always my dream. But I kind of grew up believing it's kind of a luck thing to be discovered. And I grew up thinking that I would need to be discovered by this major label so I could get famous and do what I really love. So, life happened and I needed to have my feet on the ground, right? I needed to make a living. I needed to work. And although I was always doing music on the side, I kind of thought it was impossible making a living out of music. And so I decided to go back to the university and took a master's degree in another thing that I love, which is fixing stuff. I love fixing stuff. I love understanding how stuff works. And that's where my degree came from. But the thing is, as I started to grow up, you know, starting to discover the power of the internet nowadays, I discovered a whole new world. And actually it was by being a part of a musician community online that I discovered about Fiverr and how I could actually sell my voice to other producers or other artists around the world, DJs, whatever. And that's how it all started. It was just with a $5 order from USA. And I was so happy with it. And like 1 year later, I was already with my own studio at home and doing more orders and more orders, and things escalated. And so I just decided to take the jump and give up mechanical engineering and just follow my dream. And I never looked back.
That is amazing. So it's really Fiverr that enabled you to do that.
Yeah, in the beginning, yes, totally. And also people started to reach out even outside Fiverr, but by they wanted to hire my voice or my guitar playing. And actually, I just started making I started with a 12-year-old laptop. And you know how hard it is to mix music with an old laptop. It wasn't easy. It was with a lot of crashes. But, you know, I was just getting started. And I didn't have a studio. I didn't have anything I have right now. But it was just passion. It was pure passion. And it was the will to not give up. And things started to happen. And I still think I'm in a dream, you know, because it's so amazing. If you told me like 5 years ago that I would be here, I would call you totally crazy. But yeah, here we are. So
that's amazing. You've got, so I was looking at your Fiverr profile and of course I first came across you on Fiverr, I don't know, it was three years ago or so. But you are now a level 2 seller. You've got 900 reviews, and your prices have definitely gone up since when I first hired you. It looks like you're charging $160 for a 3-minute top line, which is awesome. That is congratulations.
Yeah, actually, I was a top rated seller up until a few days ago. Sometimes Fiverr app doesn't send notifications when you get a message. And since I am so deep into my album producing, I forgot to check my messages. And just because I didn't check a message, now I'm on level 2 and not a top rated. But that's okay, because I know next month I'm going back to top rated just for sure. So it was just a matter, because you have a time response, you know. But yeah, I have more than 1,000 works done, and more than 40 different countries that I've worked with, and so many people. And of course, I mean, you buy new studio equipment, you just can't keep charging the same prices. And it's just part of all my experience too, right? You just have to raise your prices. And actually, that was something that I struggled a lot in the beginning, is just to value my work. And that's something that all artists should really stop for a minute and think about that. Because sometimes we do sell ourselves short, and that's not right. We have to value ourselves, you know.
So, talk me through, for you know, my core audience here are producers and DJs, but there's probably a lot of producers out there that are thinking, okay, well, I could offer mixing and mastering services on Fiverr or something like that. How do you get started on Fiverr, and what would you say to somebody that is interested in beginning on that platform?
So I do get a lot of questions like that, being there for so long and having so many reviews. And so what I actually done was that I wrote a 20-page mini guide that I actually sell on Fiverr, and where I tell my experience and everything I've done. So first thing is, don't answer Fiverr and think that tomorrow you'll have like 1,000 orders. That won't happen. Because you have to grow, okay? And you have to actively look for work. And actually on Fiverr, they do have like this ad section where people can say what they're looking for. And what I strongly advise is that after you set up your profile, after you set up your gigs, and try to set as many gigs as you can, because that's important, set different gigs. So for instance, if you're a mix and a master, if you're a mix and master engineer and you do that type of works, don't forget to set up a gig for editing podcasts, for instance, because you can definitely do that. Set a gig for auto-tuning voices if it's something you do, or edit voices. Set a gig because they have all these different categories, and it's important to set the greatest amount of gigs that you can offer, because that way you will reach so much more people. Because if you only set one gig, people who are only looking for that specific thing will see you. And you want to reach as many people as you can. So that's really important. After doing that, don't forget to go to the ad section and see what people are looking for and answer them. Because that's how you get started. And also ask your friends to hire you on Fiverr so you can have reviews. Because that's huge, okay? People hire you if they are going to see your reviews. If you have zero reviews, who are you, right? People won't hire people without reviews. So that's also very important.
How do you handle, let's say you forget to get back to somebody for a while, or you have life circumstances and maybe you're late on a gig and you get a bad review. How do you handle bad reviews on Fiverr?
Yeah, so first off, if you're going away, they have like this out of office mode you can set up. It's super easy. All you need to do is a click. And you go out of office and you can set up which hour you're going to return. Actually, I will start setting out of offices every weekend so I don't have to schedule messages. So this doesn't happen before again. But I totally forget. So yeah, I'm to blame too. I also make mistakes. But that's super important. Okay. So set out of offices so you don't have to be bothered with messages when you're taking time off. And also, if you have a bad review, learn from it. Okay. Because they will happen. Mm. It's normal. Okay. All you need to do also, communicate a lot. People want to know what you're doing. If you're doing your work, don't leave that person out and just send them the final work. You'll get a bad review for sure. That's very important. I never send a work and I never mark a work as finished before I send them first to my buyer. I send the work a few days earlier and ask, is this okay? Do you want me to change anything? Just let me know your review. You know, be open for changes. That's super, super important. And I know it's not easy, especially when you're getting started, because one thing that you should do also when you're getting started is charge low prices, okay? Because on the beginning, it's very important that you have reviews, you have visibility, and people know you, okay? So don't go there and start charging like amazing astronomically prices. People won't buy you if they don't know you and if you don't have credibility. So that's important. And I know sometimes it's hard. I mean, if you're charging, I don't know, $50 or something, it's a huge amount of work. It's hard to make changes, but you have to accept that changes are part of the work, okay? So it's important, okay? Be open for changes. Apologize if you do a mistake, because you are going to do mistakes. So apologize. Be the first to recognize that you made a mistake. That's super important. And if you do that, people will totally respect you. So I'm sure if you do all this, you won't get a bad review, just for sure. But even if you get... it's not the end of the world, okay? It's not the end of the world. And some people just can't get happy with anything. So you know how it is. Sometimes it's hard.
How do you deal with those difficult customers, ones that just want constant revisions and aren't happy with the finished product?
Yeah, so I have to be honest. On the beginning, that was really hard, because especially being creative artists, sometimes it's not a matter of being right and wrong. It's a matter of taste. And music is a matter of taste. It's an art, right? And sometimes what you like may not be what I like, may not be what it is, what I think is correct. It may not be correct for you, and vice versa. So sometimes it's a bit hard. One thing that you have to remember all the time is that sometimes you can't take those critics personally. Okay. Yes, it's your work. Yes, it's your voice. Yes, it's you. But some people just don't like your art, and that's okay. Okay. You don't have to be a people pleaser, and please don't be a people pleaser, because you will lose yourself if you try to be there. So one thing that I advise, first off, apologize. Okay. It's never too much to apologize. Apologize. Say, oh, I'm really sorry that I couldn't do what you were expecting me to do. So I did this because I thought this and that. Okay. Always try to justify why you did something. And if people are still not satisfied, so one thing that I advise is, I know it's not easy, and for you it may be kind of like a slap in the face, because it was for me the first time I had to do it. But sometimes you just have to give up, and you just have to learn how to say no to some people. And people want revisions, and you know there's nothing else I can do to make this better. So just be honest with the buyer. Just say, oh, look, I'm really sorry. I just can't do what you want me to do. I just can't. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So, you know, let me just give you the money back and we'll cancel the order. And I know that sounds wrong, because you spent all that work and you don't want to give that buyer their money back. But believe me, sometimes it's just best to give up and just give them the money than just keeping in a fight that can last like for 1 month. And believe me, this happened to me. My hardest customer on Fiverr, it was a lesson learned. Because I didn't want to return the money, because he was just saying that he's just saying, I don't like it. And I'm asking, okay, what can I do? And he's like, I don't like you. You do other thing. I don't like this. So it wasn't constructive feedback. You know, there was nothing I could do to please this client. I mean, I did like 5 or 6 changes and all he said, I don't like. Okay. So I just, okay, you know, I give up. I send him the money, and he was so happy, because in his mind he won, right? And okay, that's okay. And he never bothered me again, you know. He blocked me, so okay. But
life goes on, and you have a very successful Fiverr business, and it all worked out.
Yeah, it's just sometimes the thing is we can have 100 good reviews, but sometimes it takes only one to get you out of balance. And it's so hard. We do that this as to ourselves, you know, as artists. I know most artists do this, but it's just sometimes you just have to accept that you can't please everyone, you know, and, you know, haters gonna hate. Like it's like the song, you know, it's so true. They're gonna hate. And what can you do? You have to live with it. Now, you know, ever since I started live streaming, that actually helped boosting my confidence a lot. Because, you know, if you put yourself out there in your life and you get haters, you know, you get trolls, it's the internet. So you get trolls, you get haters, and you learn how to deal with it, you know. And actually now when I get a hater, I get super happy because, oh, I have a hater and I'm a superstar now, right? Because I have a hater. So you just have to see it in the bright side, not take it so personally.
Okay, well, that sounds like a terrific advice, and that sounds like a great time to pivot kind of to your live streaming. You've been doing a phenomenal job using the Sessions Live platform, and I think you're live streaming almost daily now, aren't you?
Yeah, I have 12 paid hours for a week because I'm a level 9. Now they change things. Actually, I'm the streamer who's been on the platform for the longest time. So there are more than 1,000 artists there. When I got started, we were like 3 or 5, something okay. like that. And most of them gave up. I'm the one who's still active. And actually, I will be doing my second anniversary in just a couple of days. So super excited about it. And actually, I was invited to be there through Fiverr. So that's how I discovered the platform. Yes, they invited me because they were testing this program. It was a gaming app and they wanted to test live streaming. And so they invited me and I was so happy because I was already thinking about going live, but I had like that time restraint because I was on Fiverr working and getting paid to work. And you know, if you start live streaming on Twitch or on YouTube, you don't get paid. Right. So being invited to live streaming and actually getting paid for it, I was so stoked. I was so happy. I was, is this for real? It was for real. And I started only 1 hour per week. And then they changed the platform a lot. They changed the system a lot. And many streamers, they kind of gave up in the process. I was the one adapting because that's what I do. I adapt. And even on Fiverr, I adapt. And I guess if you're an artist and if you have to think of yourself as a business person, right? You have your own business, you need to adapt. And that's actually what I did. I just adapted to the new circumstances. And now I actually have like this little family there that's all waiting for me when I go live. And it's so cool. We share experiences. We share our songs that we rediscover and we have fun. We have fun with it. So it's not only a live show. It's kind of a talk. We are talking. It's like we're talking and just having fun with each other. And I'm sharing my music, which is great. And I have people asking, where's your new album coming up? I want to know. I want to buy it. Where can I buy it? And I'm so excited. I didn't even record it yet. I didn't even finish it yet. People are already wanting to buy it. It's so, so awesome.
That is awesome. And I definitely want to come back to your album. But while we're talking about Sessions Live, I don't think many of my listeners are going to be familiar with that. Can you kind of describe the platform? I mean, how does it differ from like Twitch?
Yeah. So first off, Sessions is just for musicians. So it's exclusive for musicians. I think it was the first platform exclusive for musicians. Now we have Twitch for musicians too. But Sessions was the first one. The thing about Sessions is that it's not for everyone, okay? You have to go through a test to be there. You have to kind of do an audition. And after you audition, you get a level there. And what happens if they have from level 2 till level 11, if I'm not mistaken. And basically, they pay you a guarantee per hour, okay? So you receive per hour. And then you can get tips from people watching too. So you earn, you kind of double earn. And actually, and there's all other bonuses. So if you finish in the top 10, you also have cash prizes every week. So it's really cool. I think it's a really good opportunity for musicians. You don't have to be a singer, okay? You can do other stuff. We have DJs. I've saw drummers violin players, flute players. It's pretty much a world, but all about related to music.
Okay. And so the first step there is to go and submit an audition. Do you just send a video in, or how does that
work?
Yeah,
actually, it's a live audition. Because they have to test if you have streaming conditions. Because of course, if you want to live stream, I use Streamlabs OBS, but you can also use OBS. They actually recommend for you to use OBS. I do use Streamlabs because I think it's a bit more intuitive. But then you have to actually go live through their platform so they can see your internet speed. They can see if you are stable enough, if you have quality enough to go live. So, and you just have to fill a form. And I just want to say to everyone, because I know you can find it on the browser, sessionslive.com, or in the app. But if you don't find it, feel free to reach out to me and I will send you the form that you can fill to audition there.
Okay, fantastic. Is there some sort of, do you have like a referral code or something that they can use? Or
Yeah. There's a box there where they can put my artist username saying who okay. referred you. So just put Sandra Bullitt there if you can. Okay. And actually, yes. And if you refer, and then I kind of earn a percentage of all the love that my referrals receive. So you can earn a lot of money with that too.
Okay, fantastic. So bringing in other artists, I'll make sure to, if you've got a specific URL, I can include that in the show notes. If not, I'll just put a note to put Sandra Bullitt. That's
no, I can send you the form link. Yes.
Perfect. All right, we'll do that. Now, is Sessions Live, I know a lot of streamers, myself included, use something like Restream.io to stream to multiple platforms at the same time. I think you had said that Sessions Live, you have an exclusive agreement where you're only streaming to them at a given time, or how does that work?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I do understand why they do that. So yeah, when you stream there, you have to be exclusively there. And the reason is because actually they are paying you per hour for being there. Okay. So it would be, I do understand it would be a bit unfair, right? We are paying you, but you are streaming to other platforms. So right. Yeah, they kind of wanted you, want you focused on their chat so you can just interact with people there and people would have to go there to see you. Actually, and also other stuff, if you go there, you can't have your PayPal code on the screen because, of course, they want people to donate love through the platform too. So, yeah, there's that. But you have to understand why they do that, right? They are a business. They have to earn money, so they do that.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Okay. So one of the other components of your sort of online presence that I've seen you use really effectively is YouTube. And as of today, you've got 666 subscribers, which is a little ominous, but you have these amazing bulletized covers. One of my favorites is the Living on a Prayer one that you did. Talk to me about your success on YouTube.
So yeah, on YouTube, actually, that was kind of a project that I started to do. And basically, my YouTube channel was abandoned for many years. And the reason was when I started on Fiverr, I was working like crazy to get reviews and I didn't have much time to do stuff on YouTube. And many people were asking me, especially when I started live streaming, but why don't you have anything on YouTube? I would love to see some covers there. But my point was always, you know, if I'm doing covers on YouTube, I really want to showcase what I can do. I just don't want to leave stuff by half measure, you know, just want to go all in and do my own versions of songs that I love. And since I can play the guitar, I can play the bass, and I also can do drums on using my software, right? I can do so many instruments and thought, why not? Let's do something crazy. And then I start doing and playing a bit with video edition too. And all these things I'm telling you, you can totally learn online. You know, I learn everything by myself, just watching online tutorials. I never had any music lessons or anything. I learned everything by myself. So nowadays with the internet, you have no excuse, right? You just go online and you look for it. And I'm talking about free content, okay? You don't have to pay for anything. Of course, if you want to get there faster, you pay. But you can get there for free, especially on YouTube. YouTube is great. So I just decided to start doing this things. And the first one I ever did was actually It's a Man's World by James Brown. And that was a huge challenge for me. It was the first time I ever played the piano because I'm also learning the piano right now. So it was a huge challenge, but it worked so well. And so I took the challenge, a very crazy challenge, to do once per week, one video like that once per week, which is really hard. And that's why kind of now I have it in a stop, in a pause. I won't say a stop, but a pause right now because, okay, it's, I can't do once per week. Like if you're thinking like you have to do an arrangement, you have to do drums, you have to do bass, guitars, vocals, and you have to rehearse, right? Those are real instruments. You have to rehearse before you record, and then you record, and then you have to mix and master, and you have to do edition, and then you still have to do the video. And so it's a lot of work for every week. And that's why I have it on a pause right now. One that really hit it off was my ABBA rock version that has more than 6,000 views right now. And usually my covers have like 200 views. So for me, for having a video with 6,000 and growing every day, it's like amazing. And then people started reaching out and actually talking about Living on a Prayer. Actually, Travis, who did the drums, because sometimes I do collabs with other artists and I love doing that. It's a great way to grow your YouTube channel. It's a great way to bring people along and sharing the love that you have for some music with other people. It's so, so awesome. And Travis was actually, he reached out to me via Instagram because he saw my YouTube channel and said, I would love to make a cover with you. And he sent me the link to his channel. I was totally in love. I love what he does. He's a great drum player. And so it was so cool making it happen. You know, I can't, and I really want to go back to that. My goal was, of course, to reach 1,000 subs so that I can start monetizing my channel. Mm-hmm. That was my goal. But currently with my album and my revamping of my own original music, I kind of have that on hold. I want to go back to that, but I will probably just do one per month. That one per month, I think it works. One per week with that level of commitment and taking consideration that my YouTube channel is still not monetized. So I'm basically doing this for free. So yeah, currently I kind of have it on a pause, but yeah. I really want to go back to that. And not only release original music, but also covers, because I just love making, you know, taking these songs that I love and making them mine. So I also have other formats. I have an acoustic format, which is just like one take. I just record here one take. And then usually on those, I do songs that are very danceable because I really want to show how those songs can also work in an acoustic format. You know, just doing something different. And I also have some piano versions of rock songs, which is really cool because people get to see a side of the song that they never thought it was there, but it was there. So yeah, it's something I really want to go back to, but currently something that I have on pause.
Okay. So you've got this remarkably diverse set of skills, everything from you're learning the piano, you do the guitar, you do the bass, you're mixing and mastering. I think you've set up a new studio recently. Is that done?
Yeah, it's done. And actually I even built the walls too. So I finally put my mechanical engineering degree to use. Okay. So I did have a lot of fun making the electrical connections and the plugs and everything and building a wall from scratch and everything. Okay. It was really cool. It did take a toll and it took a long time to get it done. But I'm so happy. I already recorded drums here. And you know, my boyfriend, he's a drummer and he hates electronic drums. He hates MIDI drums. He just likes the real thing. And I do tend to understand where he comes from, because yeah, I mean, real drums, they do sound unique, right? And it's not something you can mimic. It's just like electric guitar. The guitar is not something you can do MIDI. Some instruments just don't work in MIDI. So I do understand that, but recording real drums is a pain. And I'm sure many of you listening know this. It's a pain because they have it's like recording five different instruments all played together. You have frequencies everywhere. And so it was very important for me to build an acoustically correct studio so I can finally record drums properly. And especially since my native style is rock, is what I love most. I do many different styles and I love many different styles, but rock is kind of my foundation, my base. So it was very important for me to record real drums. So having an acoustic studio right now that I have, it's kind of a dream come true. It was something, again, sometimes I still feel, I look at everything that I've done and I'm like, how did I do this? You know, because yeah, I do a lot of stuff.
Describe your studio for us. What's it like? Where is it? How did you treat the walls? Kind of geek out with me a little bit here.
Yeah, sure. So basically we bought a home 2 years ago and it's a house. It's an independent house. I made sure of that because I didn't want neighbors making noises and I wanted to be free to kind of do noise to anytime I feel like, you know, if I feel like recording a solo at 5 a.m. I can, and I don't have neighbors banging on my wall. So that was a huge thing for me. And also I do have a garage that is kind of half buried in the ground. So I do have three walls of my studio underground, which is super, super cool because it's so insulated. Even the temperature is always good here. I don't need air conditioning or anything. I do have a window. You need light. If you're working, you need light. Totally. I mean, I don't want to be in a sarcophagus or something. No. So I do have a window. I do have some polyurethane foam that I use as a blocker if I need to record or if there's noise outside. So, but basically it's underground. And I also, I used some things. So how can I say this? Because I have to find a word in English. So I did use a lot of polyurethane foam. And actually, this was an old cellar. So it did have all those holes for putting wine bottles. So,
oh, cool.
And basically, the first time I saw it, I looked at this and I start talking to the walls and singing to that wall. And it was so cool to hear the frequencies because it was kind of a natural absorber, all those holes. And I thought, you know what? If I just put some foam just in front of this and leave the holes, I think I could have a really interesting acoustic absorber, natural absorber here, right? And so that's what I did. And actually, I kind of cut like almost 1,000 holes by hand. It wasn't an easy task, but I did it and it sounds amazing. It was impressive. The difference it made in the whole studio just by having like those two walls with that. So that made the magic. And I have the drums right on that wall. So it's all absorbed. And then the drums are, I do have kind of like an elevation, a stage. And it does have tires, rubber tires, because I don't know, rubber is the element that absorbs the lower frequencies. There are no other element that absorbs more lower frequencies than tires. So I saw four tires that were in the garbage and I looked at them and they looked at me and I was like, oh, here's my drum stage. And actually, okay. I took a lot of pictures and I'll be making some social posts by showing how to construct that because I'm all about reusing, recycling. I mean, and you know, acoustic materials, they are very expensive. And so, but it was more about recycling. You know, I love reusing old stuff. I don't like to buy stuff when I have stuff that I can use here. And that was basically what I did. And actually, I also had some cork leftovers because we put new floorings and we had like this cork leaves. They were very cork sheets. They were very, very thin, like just 1 millimeter. But they are amazing for absorbing sound too. So pretty much it's a mix of materials that I have there and it worked so well. The drums sound amazing right now. For once in my life, I can rehearse here and I don't need to put nothing in my ears because the sound is clean. So it's really, really cool.
That's terrific. I would love to include a picture or two of your studio in the show notes, if you don't mind sharing.
Sure. I can take some and I can send it to you.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I would love to see that. Let's talk a little bit about music, of course. So one of the things that strikes me, the first track we worked on was Love the Way You Love together. And yeah. I remember very distinctly asking you to sing one of the verses in Portuguese, because I wanted to hear it in your own native language. And I felt like that was the strongest verse, because you brought so much energy to that verse. Just the fact that you were completely comfortable with it. So it kind of surprises me. A lot of the songs that you have, most of them, it seems like, are in English. Is there a reason you don't have more in your native language?
Yeah. Actually, I started composing in I started composing in English. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I don't. I struggle with English, so you know, your command of English is amazing. The fact that you could pronounce polyurethane a few minutes ago was awesome. So you're very, very good. But I do wonder why you don't have more tracks in Portuguese. I'm going to play a short clip from my early work with Sandra, Love the Way You Love, where she sings in both Portuguese and English. But first, I want to offer some of my key takeaways from today's interview. First, don't give up on your dreams. It may take time. Sandra mentioned she's been a musician for over a decade, but it's only in the last 3 years that she's made it her full-time job. Two, Sandra offered a lot of actionable advice for getting started on Fiverr. Start with your friends and low prices to get some reviews, but plan on stepping your prices up, because you have to value your time and skills. Look for work in the ads section and apply for gigs. Set a lot of different gigs. For producers, that could be mixing, mastering, editing podcasts, offering vocal edits and DJ tags, or maybe sound design. Communicate regularly with your customers and send them a draft early so you can get feedback. Use the out-of-office feature if you're going to be busy with something else. Recognize that you can't please everyone. If you get a bad review, just learn from it. It happens to everyone, even top sellers. If you have a difficult customer and you just can't get a project right, don't be afraid to apologize and refund their money. If you want more of these tips, remember she has a 20-page guide, you guessed it, on Fiverr. I'll have a link in the show notes. Third, Sessions Live is a relatively new music-only streaming platform that pays musicians for their time and allows you to make tips on top of that. Sandra mentioned that they do have DJs on the platform, so if you're looking for an alternative to Twitch, check it out. You can apply for a live audition at the link on my show notes page. Please consider listing Sandra Bullitt as referring you to help thank her for coming on the podcast today. Four, Sandra also talked about growing your audience on YouTube. She prefers to release a new video each month and focus on quality with highly produced professional videos. Also, collaborations with other YouTube artists is a great way to grow your channel. Once again, I'll have links for everything for you on the show notes page at producerlifepodcast.com. Look for episode 57. If you'd like to search for Sandra online, the best thing to do is to search her name in one word, S-A-N-D-R-A-B-U-L-L-E-T. Next week, Sandra returns for part two of the interview, and we talk about our upcoming progressive house track, Higher, which releases on February 5th, and I'm really excited about this track. I'll have a pre-save link on the show notes page. We also talk about Portuguese music culture, being a singer in her non-native language, and why she hates Pimba music. Today, we're going to wrap up the show with my first collaboration with Sandra from 2018, a dance pop track titled Love the Way You Love. She wrote and sang the top line, and it really highlights her beautiful voice in both English and her native language, Portuguese. Enjoy.